invite you to stand up and worship with us this morning. And to our church family watching online, we invite you to join us in worship right where you are as we enter into God's presence today. Amen.
Even in the distance, even in the silence, even in the static, I see you move. Even in the dark night, even with a half light, even in the stillness, after the fire and after the wind, Even though my heart breaks, even then your word stays. I know you're here, even when I'm broken, even when I'm hopeless, 'cause I know where my hope is. When you speak, I will move. I believe you are near. Speak to me, Lord. Draw me near where you are.
Say, we give you praise, we give you honor in this place. Speak to us, Lord. We've come for an encounter with you today, God. Nothing but you, Lord. We give you praise and we give you honor as you fill this room with your glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that it's not over. Thank you that the doctor's report is not the final say. Thank you, Lord, that trouble in a relationship or a marriage is not the final say. Thank you that your children going off is not the final say, but that God has the final say. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There's hope when I'm hopeless. There's light in the darkest hour. There's place when I'm restless. It's not over. It's not over. There's grace when I'm anxious. There's joy when I'm broken hearted. There's power in Jesus. It's not over. 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 It's not over.
It's not over. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I can feel the presence of God in this room this morning. Thank you, Father God.
Stay a little longer. I can't get enough of you.
if I can't get enough. Your worship this morning. Send up your praise this morning. Lift up your voice this morning. Lift up your hands this morning. Lift up your hearts this morning. Come on and give Him all the glory, all the praise for everything said and done in this room. Hallelujah, God, we worship You. Thank You, Lord.
Such a presence of the Lord in this place. And you know what? It comes when you take a moment. When you don't wonder what's the next verse coming. When you take the time just to be in His presence and just to worship Him. There's a hunger in this room. And what the hunger does is the hunger opens the way for God to begin to move supernaturally. And that's what we want, right? We want Him to move supernaturally upon the hearts of people. So glad you're in church this morning. So glad. The worship team, thank you for leading us into the presence of God. I just want to say, Carly sits in the dark and plays the piano right there. He tries to be unnoticed. But I looked at you this morning, and the Lord just said to me, He's been watching you. and marked you when you were a little boy. And you've sometimes come closer, but he's saying, come on, come on even closer. Because the gifts and the supernatural gifts that he's put upon you, not just the natural talent, but the supernatural talent is on you and in you, and he wants it to come out of you in a greater dimension. And so the things that you're doing with your talent is very significant to the body of Christ. But the things that are in you that he wants to bring out of you are more significant. There are songs, and there's a sound that'll come out of you that comes from heaven, and it's needed. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Let God bring out what is in you to the full, because it's a time for it right now, right? Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. So glad to see you. See some faces I haven't seen in a little while. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Tell them how glad you are to see them. You may be seated. Glad to see you. Welcome to those that are watching online. Welcome to Ascend Church. If it's one of our Ascend Church members, we miss you. We look forward to seeing you again. Come back soon and just enjoy the service with us. But I'm glad to be in church. How about you? Good, good. And I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. If you haven't been to a service at our church before, and we're glad to see you. And we just want to welcome you. We'd like to just hand you a visitor pack where you're sitting. So if you are here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? Is anyone for the first time? Anybody? God bless you. Come on, family. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Just make sure an usher sees your hand in our visitor packs. A couple of things. Not that. There's a couple of things. One of them is a card that just tells you a little bit more about our church. And then we have a couple of things in there, but one is a magnet for your fridge. It says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hope you like that. And then there's a card that says guest. So if you take a moment, just fill that out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop it in. Just gives us a chance to thank you for coming. So thank you for doing that. And I want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church. And then we're gonna pray over all these little people on the side over here. These cute kids. Not only them, but any other students in the service. I just want to remind you that the four main purposes of our church, the first one is that we may know God. Second of all, that you'd find freedom. Thirdly, discover your purpose. And lastly, make a difference with your life. Amen. Amen. So Pastor Steve, we're going to pray over the students today. And not just the ones from Kids Church. If there are any other students that are in the service, come on up. We want to ask you to just come forward here. Come and line them up here, Deanne. Moises. Oh, look at them. So handsome. You know you are, Brady. But got any other students in? Do we have any college students? Anyone else? You're a college student already, Leo. That's awesome. Let the teachers come and stand here. How about let the parents come and stand? stand you. Good job, guys.
Anyone who's in school, whether you're in high school, college, stand up for us. We want to pray for you right now. You want to have a great year this year? You want to do great in school this year? Stand up. Prayer makes a big difference.
Aunts and uncles, grandparents, whoever's here with them, come and stand with
them.
There
you go.
We're going to pray for them right now.
There you go. Kids, are you ready for us to pray for you? Are you ready for us to pray? All right. Come on. Stretch your hand toward them. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for your wisdom, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who gives us wisdom. And as we pray over these students and children, Father, we thank you this year that you protect them in all their ways. We thank you the angels of God surround them and protect them wherever they go. We thank you, Father, that you give them wisdom, that you guide them, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your hand that is upon them. We thank you that this year will be an excellent year for them, that they will excel. They'll do great in school. They'll do great. They'll get great grades, Father. We thank you that you use them at this school to be a light in a place of darkness. We thank you, Lord, for your covering upon each one. We thank you for your wisdom, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that as they study this year, that they will just have, they will retain what they've learned, Father. When it comes to the exams and tests, that they will remember it and they will excel in all of their tests, Father. We give you the thanks and the praise, Lord, that you've given us the mind of Christ. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are with us. You're with our students everywhere that they go. We put our trust in you in Jesus' name. Is there anything you want to pray?
Yeah, I want to just remind every one of you that in the Bible, people that belong to God were very different to people that were in the world. That God looked upon them with favor and he treated them better than they even deserved. And so when you're at school, don't worry about what anybody else thinks about you. Remember that you have the favor of God that's on you. So even when things don't always go your way, just say, thank you, Lord, for helping me.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for helping me. And you'll see God bring you to the top all the time. Amen?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Good.
And we want to say thank you to all of our children's church teachers.
So good.
For the great job that they do every week.
So good.
Every week.
You of the different ways that you can watch the service. Those that are watching, you can watch on Facebook Live. You can watch on our website, ascendchurch.us. You can watch on our mobile app and on YouTube, Ascend Church Jupiter. So if you watch, wherever you're watching from, won't you comment? Just let us know. We have people that watch from all around the world. We have people that watch after the fact. And what I like about it is that everything's shareable. So if you hear a message today and you think of somebody and you think this would really bless them, go ahead and get on the website and share it with them. Yes. Because you never know how it ministers to people. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. Tell your neighbor it's good to see you in church today. Glad you're here. Praise the Lord. I just want to mention to you that we're going to be doing another Christian growth seminar before the end of the year. And if you have not yet been through our Christian growth seminar, I really want to encourage you to sign up for it today. It's a free class. It runs over four Tuesday nights, on a Tuesday night for four Tuesdays. And you will learn so much. It really is a life-changing class. I've done it so many times myself. I've taught it, but every time that I do, some of the things you'll learn about is understanding salvation, understanding the vision of our church, understanding righteousness, understanding water baptism, three steps to receive anything that you need from God in prayer, how to receive the power of God in your life, how to walk in God's financial blessing in your life, the power of worship and praise, having a spiritual home, what is the mission of the church, understanding small groups. I mean, there's just so much that we go through in this class. And I really want to encourage you. How many of you have done the Christian Growth Seminar? Wave at me. Wave your hand at me if you have done the class. Oh, wonderful. Well, I guess if you don't have your hand waved, that means you didn't do the class. And I want to encourage you to sign up for it today. As soon as we have enough people to sign up, I'll announce a date for it. But I would like to do another class before the end of the year. And so this is the card that I'm going to ask you to fill out. It says grow on it. It's a big green card, says grow. There should be one in the seat back in front of you. So if you have not yet been through the Christian Grow Seminar, it's something you really need to do. It'll really help get you grounded on your faith and on the Word of God. It's one of the most outstanding Bible study classes that I've ever seen. And what happens over those 4 weeks is really transformational. Is that a word, transformational? And so how many of you have not done the class? Would you wave your hand if you haven't done the Christian Growth Seminar? You haven't done it, Barry? I thought you had. No. Well, I'm going to ask you to sign up for it today. Shannon and Jason, excellent. Glad to see you got it. Bill did the class, right? You recommend it, Bill? Thank you. So go ahead and fill out this card and put it into the offering bag, offering bucket that comes around later. Or you could hand it back to one of the ushers. You could give it to me. You could leave it on the counter in the lobby. We'll get it. And then we'll let you know. We'll let you know the date as soon as we have enough people signed up. The second thing we're going to be doing in the latter part of this year is we're going to be doing a season of small groups, or we call them connect groups. We're going to be doing an 8 or 10 week season of connect groups, and that's something that I think is really going to be great too, and I'll be telling you more about that. Thank you, Tom. Praise the Lord. Well, are you ready to receive God's Word today? Father, we thank you today for your Word. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you hear and you answer when we pray. We thank you for the power of prayer, Lord. You said that the fervent prayer of a righteous person accomplishes great things and makes tremendous power available. We thank you, Lord, for the great things that are accomplished and done as we pray, because you hear and you answer. And Lord, today, as I stand to teach your word about prayer, I thank you that you help me, that you anoint me, that you speak through me today. And Lord, I give you all of the thanks and praise for everything that will be done and everything that will be said. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Thank you to our worship team. This is going to be the final part of the series we've been talking about the last, this is part number 6, so the last 6 weeks, we're talking about how to pray. And if you have not, if you haven't been in all of these services, if you haven't heard all of these teachings, I really, really would encourage you to go back and watch the series from the beginning. You can watch all the videos on our app. You can watch it on our YouTube channel. But I would really encourage you to do that. And even if you were here, even if you were here every week, every Sunday, go back and listen to them again. Because you will find that the more that you study and the prayer, the stronger your prayer life will be. Amen? And so I really encourage you to go and watch all of these from the first one. Every week we've been dealing with a different aspect of prayer. And today we're going to be talking about stand in the gap. That's what I want to talk about today. And you know, the scripture says in Ephesians 6 verse 18, it says, praying always with all kinds of prayer. And then the God's Word translation says, use every kind of prayer and request there is. The Bible talks about the fact that there's different kinds of prayer. And there's 10 different kinds of prayer we've been looking at. The first one is the prayer of fellowship. We're just fellowshipping and talking to the Lord. And then the second prayer is the prayer of worship and thanksgiving. And then the third prayer is the prayer of consecration. Like Jesus prayed, Father, let not my will be done, but let your will be done. That's the prayer of consecration. Then the prayer of petition. That's how you pray whenever you're asking, you're making a request from God, how to receive something from God. That's the prayer of petition. Then the prayer of committal. That's casting all your cares, committing all your cares and worries to God. Then the prayer of agreement. If any two will agree concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by our Father in heaven. Then there's the prayer of binding and loosing, We use the authority God has given us in prayer. Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. We have authority in prayer over the enemy. Then we spoke about praying in the Spirit. That was last week, praying in other tongues. And today, we're going to speak about the prayer of intercession. That's what standing in the gap is. It's interceding on behalf of others. And we're going to talk about united prayer. So we'll be finishing up the series today. So talking about standing in the gap is the prayer of intercession. And the word intercede, it means to act between two parties with the thought of reconciling the two of them. And the scripture tells us in Ezekiel 22 in verse 30, so I sought for a man among them who would make up a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. The Bible says God is looking for, he's seeking, I sought for a man, for somebody, a woman, who would stand in the gap, who would make up the hedge, who would stand in the gap before me, and who would pray and intercede so that I could move, but I didn't find anyone. Let me tell you, God is looking for people who are willing to pray, who are willing to stand in the gap on behalf of other people and pray for other people so that he can move in their life. God wants us to stand in the gap and pray for our country. Let me tell you that our country is not in the hands, thank God, of politicians. It's in the hands of the church. Because if we will pray, God will move in this nation as we pray. Let me tell you, this is the hour for the church. If there was ever a time for the church to rise up and proclaim Jesus the healer, Jesus the miracle worker, it is now. Amen. Hey, people tell me, I can't come to church. I've had pastors telling people, if you feel sick, don't come to church. If you feel sick, don't come to church. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, is any sick among you, call for the elders of the church and pray over him and anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. The Bible says if you're sick, doesn't say stay away from church. It says get to church and let someone pray over you so God can heal you. Don't buy into this. Don't buy into this thing. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. How many of you believe we need some healing in the land today? Well, we got to pray, church. Don't be waiting for some politician, to some man, some woman to give you the answer. No, prayer is where God says, if you'll humble yourself and pray, I'll heal the land. God's looking for people who'll pray, who'll stand in the gap, who'll intercede so that people's lives can be spared, so that people can be helped. In Genesis chapter 18, we have the example of Abraham. He stood in the gap on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, when he became aware of the impending judgment that was coming upon the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, he began to intercede for them. And the scripture says in Genesis 18, verse 23, Abraham came near and he said, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, judge. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? Can you believe how God is talking to Abraham? I mean, how Abraham is talking to God. Can you believe how Abraham's talking to God? And it says, so the Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people within the city, then I will spare it all the place for their sakes. Abraham answered and he said, indeed, he said, now I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy the city for lack of 5? So he said, if I find 45, I'll not destroy it. And he spoke again, and he said, suppose there would be 40. He said, I'll not do it for the sake of 40. And then he said, Lord, please don't be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 were found there. He said, I'll not do it if there were 30. He said, Lord, I've taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 be found there. He said, I won't destroy it for the sake of 20. He said, Lord, please don't be angry. I'll speak one more time. Suppose 10 were found there. He said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10 righteous. Abraham thought there must be at least 10. But evidently there wasn't. God would have spared that whole city, which was full of sin and immorality, for the sake of 10 righteous people. Abraham thought there would be at least 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me tell you, if under the old covenant, Abraham interceded for other people and God heard his prayer, how much more will God hear our prayers under the new covenant? Do you know the Bible says we have a better covenant with better promises? In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it says, now Jesus, a high priest, has been given, it's Hebrews 8, verse 6. It says that Jesus has been given a ministry that is far more superior to the old priesthood, for he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with, based on better promises. Say, I got a far better covenant than Abraham had. And there's better promises. So if Abraham could intercede on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah, and we have a far better covenant than they had in the old covenant, because we got the authority of the name of Jesus. We can help other people through prayer. We got the Holy Spirit to help us pray. Amen. Will not God hear our prayers for cities and for nations for the sake of his children who live in them? He will if we will stand in the gap and intercede like Abraham. Let me tell you, God will hear our prayers and God will spare people and God will help people and God will bring healing if we will pray. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I urge you, first of all, say first of all. First of all. What's the first thing we should be doing? To pray. First of all, I urge you to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and for all who are in authority so that we can lead a peaceful and quiet life marked by godliness and dignity. The Passion Bible says, pray for every political leader and representative so that we would be able to live tranquil, undisturbed lives. The Bible says we should pray for those people who are in positions of authority, for people who are in political leaders. And let me tell you right now, you need to pray for the president, whether you voted for him or whether you didn't. I said this over every president, over every election, whether I voted for the man or not, I'm still going to pray for him because God told me to pray for him. And when we pray for him, then God can move in the nation. Amen, somebody. Some people wouldn't pray for Donald Trump because they didn't like him. Now we've got people who won't pray for Joe Biden because they don't like him. It makes no difference whether I like him or whether I don't like him. I'm going to do what God said. I'm going to pray for people in authority over me so that God can move. Right? It says, this is good. Verse 3 says, this is good and pleases God our Savior. The Bible says it is good and it pleases God when we pray for other people. He wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to understand the truth. God wants everyone saved. He wants all the Republicans saved. He wants all the Democrats saved. He wants all the independents saved. God wants everybody to be saved. God loves everybody, doesn't he? It's good to pray for yourself. It's good to pray for your own needs. God wants you to pray. The Bible says the reason we don't have what we need is because we don't ask him. God wants you to pray. He wants you to pray for wisdom, pray for guidance. Ask God to help you to overcome the difficulties you face in life. That's all good. That's all important. But let's not stop there, family. You have the ability to help someone else to reach their destiny. Amen. There are people God put in your life. They won't become who God created them to be without you praying for them. They don't have the faith to accomplish their dreams. They won't break that addiction. They won't overcome that challenge without you standing in the gap and praying on their behalf. In James 5, verse 16, it says, pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, no rain fell for 3.5 years. And then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. Now, Elijah's prayers changed things. And your prayers are powerful also. God doesn't want you just to pray for yourself. Don't just focus on your needs, your goals, your dreams, but take time to pray for other people. Look around who's in your life, that neighbor who seems down, or that coworker who may be struggling. That person you heard about that has cancer. That didn't come up by accident. God brought them across your path, and he's counting on you to lift them up. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I've got my own problems. I've got my own issues. I've got my own dreams. I need someone to pray for me. Listen, when you pray for others, do you know what's amazing what happens? You are sowing a seed for God to help you. Do you know that when Job in the Bible was overcome with so many difficulties, his world was turned upside down, he didn't just pray for himself, he prayed for his friends. The scripture says, look what God said in Job 42, verse 7. It says, after God had finished addressing Job, he turned to Eliphaz the Temanite, and he said, I've had it with you and your two friends. I'm fed up. You haven't been honest with either with me or about me, not the way my friend Job has. Here's what you must do. Take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my friend Job and sacrifice a burnt offering on your own behalf. My friend Job will pray for you. And I will accept his prayer. And he will ask me not to treat you as you deserve for talking nonsense about me and for not being honest with me as he has. And they did it. Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bilead, and the Shuhite, and Zophar, Namathite, did what God commanded. And God accepted Job's prayer. And look what happened in verse 10. After Job had interceded for his friends, God restored his fortune and then doubled it. It's amazing what happens when you begin to pray for other people and get your eyes off yourself and begin to lift up others, how God works in your life. Do you know that the majority of my time that I pray, I'm praying for other people? 85 to 90% of the time that I pray, I'm praying for my kids, I'm praying for my grandchildren, I'm praying for my family, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for the church, I'm praying for the nation, I'm praying for the city. I'm praying for people that have asked me to pray. I'm praying for someone I heard this is going on. We pray for them. Jill and I, we ride by, we see a traffic accident, we start praying for them. We start praying for them. Lord, help them. Help them. Save them. Save their life. Why? Because there's power in prayer. Could it be that if you would take time to pray for others, then what you are struggling with would suddenly turn around? Your health, your dreams, your breakthroughs, your finances. You see, your prayers cause the angels to go to work. Chains that are holding people back begin to loosen. Depression that is trying to sour their life is suddenly broken. When you speak victory over them, the forces of darkness begin to lose their grip. And it may not happen overnight, but your prayer is making a difference. Your prayer is what's keeping them going. They may not even know you're praying for them. You may not get any credit. But what Jesus said, what you do in secret, God will reward you out in the open. When I meet people, the favorite thing they tell me, let me tell you, the favorite thing is Pastor Steve, I love listening to your sermons. You really encourage me. That's not my favorite thing. You know what my favorite thing is? When people tell me, Pastor Steve, I'm praying for you. When people tell me, I'm praying for you, because let me tell you, I covet your prayers. Your prayers make a huge difference to me. When you pray for someone, you're not just sending them good wishes. You're not just saying, good luck, hope it goes well for you. That's what I think a lot of people do today. When they say, I'm going to pray for you, they don't actually pray. What they mean is, well, I hope it works out. But prayer is what moves the hands that rule the world. Prayer is what causes the God who created the universe to make things happen that we could never make happen. In the book of Revelation, John, the apostle, described what he saw in heaven. He saw how there were angels around the throne of God. They were constantly bowing down and worshiping God. But look what happens in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, when the Lamb broke open the seventh seal, heaven fell silent for about half an hour. About 30 minutes, all of heaven went silent. And then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and each was given a trumpet. And then the eighth angel with a golden incense burner came and took his place at the incense altar. He was given a great quantity of incense to offer up, consisting of the prayers of God's holy people upon the golden altar that is before the throne. And it says in verse 4, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the holy ones blowing up before God from the hand of the angel. Let me tell you how powerful your prayers are. That in heaven, there's going to be all this singing and all this worshiping, and suddenly all the angels are going to stop singing. The heavenly hosts are silent for 30 minutes. It's silence across heaven. What could be so important that heaven would come to a standstill? Was something wrong? No, all of heaven stopped to hear the prayers coming up of God's people, coming up like incense. All of heaven stopped to listen to the prayers of God's people. Your prayers go up like incense before the throne of God, and you may think nobody's listening. These voices whisper to you, God's not concerned about you. You're wasting your time. Your prayers aren't making any distance. But I want you, just imagine when you pray that the angels get quiet, the musicians stop playing, Gabriel turns to God and he says, I've silenced everything because I heard a prayer coming up from one of your children. Somebody believes you can do the impossible. Somebody is counting on you to heal their friend from cancer, to turn a child around, to break an addiction. Amen. Let me tell you, when you pray, powerful things happen. All of heaven stops. The creator of the universe comes to attention. And that's when supernatural things begin to take place in your life. When you pray, red seas are parted. When you pray, new buildings show up. When you pray, you can overcome that illness that has come against you. I'm asking you not just to pray for yourself. I'm asking you to commit to pray for other people. Use this power to help somebody else to reach their highest potential. The Apostle Paul, he encouraged people to pray for him all the time. The Apostle Paul, he wrote in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 11, he said, as you labor together with us through prayer, because there are so many people interceding for us, our deliverance will cause even more people to give thanks to God. What a gracious gift of mercy surrounds us because of your prayers. The Living Bible says, and you are helping us by praying for us, then many people will give thanks to God because he has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. Paul said, he wrote to the church in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, and he said, for you know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. He said, when you pray for me, I'm telling you, I'm going to be delivered. Because you're praying for me, God is going to help me. That's what he said. The Living Bible said, I know that as you pray for me and as the Spirit helps me, this is all going to turn out for my good. I know because you're praying for me, it's all going to turn out for my good. The Passion Bible says, your intercession for me will bring about my deliverance. You see, your prayer and intercession for someone else can bring about their deliverance, their victory, their healing, their breakthrough, because you prayed. Amen, somebody? In Acts chapter 12, King Herod was against the church. He was persecuting the church. Not only did he arrest believers, but he had James killed. He had James executed. And he was planning on doing the same thing to Peter. And he had Peter arrested. And he had Peter thrown into the deepest dungeon. But on the night before Peter was going to go on trial, look what happened. The scripture says in Acts 12 verse 5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. What kind of prayer? Constant prayer. Let me read it from the Passion Bible. The church went into a season of intense intercession, asking God to free him. The night before Herod planned to bring him to trial, he made sure Peter was securely bound with two chains. Peter was sound asleep between two soldiers with additional guards stationed outside his cell door. Why do you think they had him all chained up and all these guards? Because they knew, man, these amazing things happen. We put soldiers outside Jesus' tomb and we came, the stone was rolled away and he was gone. And look what happened. All at once, an angel of the Lord appeared, filling his prison cell with a brilliant light. The angel struck Peter on the side to awaken him, said, "Hurry up, let's go." Now, I wonder how many of us would be having a peaceful sleep if we knew the next day we're going to go on trial and we're probably going to be executed. Would you be sleeping nice and peacefully? That tells me that Peter had some kind of trust in God. It says the angel woke him up. He said, "Let's go." Instantly, the chains fell off of his wrists. The angel said, "Get dressed, put on your sandals, bring your cloak, follow me." Peter quickly left the cell. He followed the angel, even though he thought it was just a dream. He thought it was a vision. It didn't seem real. He couldn't believe it was really happening. It says they walked unseen past the first guard. They walked right past the guard post. And then the second before coming to the iron gate that leads to the city. And the gate swung open all by itself right in front of them. They went out into the city. They were walking down a narrow street when all of a sudden, the angel disappeared. That's when Peter realized he wasn't having a dream. And he said to himself, "This is really happening. The Lord sent his angel to rescue me from the clutches of Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me." And it says, when he realized this, he decided to go to the home of Mary and her son, John Mark. And the house was filled with people praying. While they were praying, God sent an angel and supernaturally delivered Peter from that prison cell. What's interesting is the scripture says that they were specifically praying for Peter. The scripture says they were praying for Peter. But it doesn't say that anybody was praying for James. Remember James, who was executed? They were in the same circumstance, two totally different results. Now, we rejoice over what God did for Peter. But I wonder if James had people praying for him, maybe he would have been delivered also. Maybe the angel would have showed up. Maybe Herod would have changed his mind. If somebody had been praying, who can tell? But my challenge to you is don't let there be a James in your life. All your family and your friends and your co-workers, they should be Peters. You should be covering them in prayer. You should be asking God to strengthen them, to help them, to protect them. Pray they'll be guided by the Lord. Because your prayer can make the difference. Your prayer can cause the angels of God to show up and help people. When you go to God on someone else's behalf, heaven comes to attention. God is concerned about what concerns you. And you know, there's some people that don't have the faith to believe on their own. They may not be living right. They may not think that they deserve God's help. But because you're honoring God, because you took the time to pray, God will bless them for your sake. See, you've got a gift. You can help someone else succeed. On their own, they can't do it. On their own, they're a James. But when you pray, prison doors open. Addictions are broken. The right people begin to show up when you pray. Are you using your gift? Are you praying for other people? Because let me tell you, life is too short to live it thinking only about yourself and your own dreams and your own goals and your own needs. It's a shallow way to live. You'll never truly be fulfilled like that because you need other people to stand in faith with you. And do you know when you develop this habit of praying for other people, God will make sure there's always plenty of people praying for you. Amen. Deuteronomy 32 verse 30 says, "How can one person chase 1,000 to them and two people put 10,000 to flight?" You see, you're 10 times more powerful when you have somebody praying with you and for you. That's why I pray for you every day. I pray for your needs. I pray that God would meet every need in your life. I pray that God's will would be done in your life. I pray that you would grow, that God would guide you. I pray for your protection. I pray for your healing. I pray for your deliverance. I pray for your provision every week. I pray for your family. I pray for your health. I pray for your freedom. I pray for abundance. I pray for strength. I spend more time praying for other people than I do praying for myself. Pray for hurting people. Your prayer could stop that accident from happening. Your prayer could lift a heavy burden off of their life. You don't meet people by accident. God puts people in your life. He causes you to notice certain people. You might be at the grocery store, maybe at the gym, and you see that person. They look down. They look lonely. And under your breath, just pray for them. Lord, please help them, bless them, strengthen them. Help them to live in victory. I pray, Lord, for them. Pastor Joel Osteen, I love, he told the story about his mother. His mother's name is Dodie Osteen. And she prayed for an entertainer in Houston. His name is Bill Nash. And she would see his name up on these different marquees where he was performing around Houston. She never met the man, but she read that his parents were missionaries. When he was growing up, he came from a strong family of faith. But in his teenage years, he started running with the wrong crowd. He ended up on drugs. Instead of playing in churches, he's playing in bars and clubs. And Pastor Dodie could have thought, well, you know, that's a shame. Too bad I can't do anything about it. He's off course. What a pity. But instead, every time she saw his name, under her breath, she'd pray, Lord, help him to get back on course. Help him to fulfill the destiny you have for his life. Just a simple prayer. And it went on year after year. It didn't look like anything was happening. It looked like she was wasting her breath praying. But when you pray, things are changing. They may not always change overnight. But behind the scenes, God is at work. Your prayers are going up to the throne of God like incense. And one Sunday, out of the blue, this gentleman, Bill Nash, walked into Lakewood Church. And he sat right at the back. And somebody recognized him. And they told Pastor Dodie, Bill Nash is here. And she went back and she gave him a big hug. And she told him, I've been praying for you all these years. That day was a turning point. Because he felt love. He felt accepted. And just a few months later, he gave his first concert at Lakewood Church. And for the last 30 years, Bill Nash has been using his gifts and talents to honor and glorify the Lord. Maybe it wouldn't have happened if Pastor Dodie hadn't prayed for him. Maybe Bill would still be off course, still going down the wrong path if she had not gone before God and prayed on his behalf. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve, you know, I'm just one person. Let me tell you, you may be one, but you may be the one God is counting on. Your prayers may be what causes that young lady at the office to change your life. Instead of talking about her, instead of judging her, looking at all that she's done wrong, why don't you take time and pray for her? Amen. Talking about her is not going to help her improve, but prayer will break the chains that are holding her back. Every morning after you thank God for the day and you ask him for your needs and for your dreams and for your desires, take time to go to God and pray for her. Maybe nobody else is praying for her. Maybe she's a James. You need to turn her into a Peter, man. You need to be praying for her. You don't have to tell her about it. You don't have to make a big scene. Well, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you that you'll get your life right. I'm praying for you. Give me a break. Just love her. You don't even have to tell her. Just pray for her. In your private time, just ask God to help her. The scripture talks about standing in the gap for people. Some people are too far off course to ever get back on their own. They're too discouraged. They've got too many obstacles, too many challenges. Ezekiel 22 verse 30 says, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall, stand in the gap before me for the sake of the land, that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. Back in those days, the cities had walls around them to protect them from their enemies. And sometimes there'd be a broken place in the wall and something, you know, that had created a gap in the wall. Now the enemy could easily come in through that gap in the wall, so they would have an armed soldier, one of their most powerful warriors, who would stand in the gap until the wall could be repaired. You see, people all around us have got broken down walls. They've gotten off course. A relationship didn't work out. They're fighting an illness. Maybe depression, loneliness. There's a breach in their wall. Maybe they don't know the Lord in their life. God is asking you, will you stand in the gap? Will you cover them while they're down? Will you not let the enemy overtake them? When you see someone in need fighting a battle, don't be passive. Don't be unmoved. Don't be judgmental. Be that warrior that stands in the gap and speaks victory over their life and take authority over the forces of darkness in the name of Jesus. Lift them up in prayer. Let them know they're not alone. Take time to encourage them. Amen. You know, sometimes just a simple text to someone, hey, I'm praying for you. You got this. God's got this. You're going to get through this. That's all it takes to lift their spirit. Amen. I thank God for people who've prayed for me. When I've had a gap in my wall, many of you have covered me in prayer. Thank you for praying for me. Like me, you've had people stand in the gap maybe for you. And what's been given to us, we have a responsibility to give to other people. If someone around you has a broken down wall, life maybe didn't turn out the way they thought, that's your cue to step up and to make a difference and begin to pray for them. One time in the Bible, the Israelites got totally off course. After all God had done for them, I mean, delivered them from Egypt, delivered them from slavery, parted the Red Sea, gave them food, rained down food in the wilderness, they started worshiping a golden calf. They were having parties, getting drunk, being immoral. God was angry. God was going to destroy them. But Moses went up on the mountain. And for 40 days, he fasted and prayed, and he asked God for mercy, not for himself, for the Israelites. And the scripture says in Psalm 106, verse 23, so you decided to destroy them, but Moses, your chosen leader, stood in the gap between you and the people, and he made intercession on their behalf to turn away your wrath from killing them all. Moses stood in the gap. Moses made intercession, and God had mercy on them. You may know people who are off course, maybe a friend, a family member, a co-worker. They're not making the right choices in their life. They know better, but they're doing it anyway. That's where the Israelites were. God was ready to destroy these 2 million people, because one man stood in the gap, God changed his mind. Because one man prayed and interceded. Will you do like Moses and stand in the gap for people around you who are not doing right? It's so easy to criticize and find fault and judge people, but you can be the one who makes a difference. I want the psalmist to be able to put my name in that scripture and your name in that scripture. God would have destroyed them had Pam not stood in the gap. God would have destroyed them had Anna not stood in the gap. That wouldn't have happened if Jill hadn't stood in the gap. I've learned if you're not standing in the gap, most likely you'll be standing in judgment. I don't want to stand in judgment. I want to stand in the gap. I've made up my mind. I'm going to be a gap stander. I've made up my mind. Lord, you're looking for someone who will stand in the gap. Here I am, Lord. I am available. I will stand in the gap. I will make up the wall. I will pray and intercede on behalf of other people. I'm going to be a people lifter. I'm going to take time every day to help pray people into their destiny. How about you? Stand in the gap for someone else. You've been blessed, now be a blessing to someone else. God answered your prayer, now pray for somebody else. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray for your family. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Stand in the gap and pray for them. I'm just reading a book right now, Norval Hayes, Standing in the Gap for Your Children. He talks about his daughter married the wrong man. God told him she mustn't marry this man. She wouldn't listen to him. Married him. She ended up backsliding, getting into drugs, her whole life, all kinds of addiction. But Norval Hayes stood in the gap, and he prayed, and he interceded for his daughter. He prayed for a number of years. And she came back, and she's serving God, and she's in ministry today. She's preaching the gospel. Listen, pray for your children. Pray for your friends. Pray for this church. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for your pastor, please. If you don't pray for nobody else, pray for your pastor. Because let me tell you, when you pray for people, God will help them. God will guide them. God will protect them because of your prayers. Amen. Bill, stand in the gap and pray for Stephen, man. Pray for Stephen. He is marked for God. It may not look like it now, but you just keep praying for him, Bill, because of your prayers, he's going to come in. He's going to be on fire for the Lord. Pray for your children. Amen. One of the best ways that I know to pray, to stand in the gap and pray for others, is praying in the Spirit. is praying in other tongues. Most of the time I'm praying for you, I'm praying in the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit knows everything going on in your life and He knows everything that you need. And the Scripture says in Romans 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. That's one of our weaknesses. I don't know everything to pray for you. I don't know everything that's happening in you. I may know some things, but I don't know everything. But the Holy Spirit knows everything. It says, when we do not know what to pray for as we ought, the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The actual Greek says, with groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. Articulate speech is your regular kind of speech, your native language. This isn't not a language you know. This is praying in a heavenly language. And it says in verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. See, that's how I pray for my children and my grandchildren. I pray, Father, I say, Holy Spirit, help me to pray the will of God for my children. Help me to pray that the will of God would be done in my children's life. Help me to pray that the will of God would be done in my grandchildren's life. Help me to pray the will of God to be done in the life of every person at Ascend Church. Holy Spirit, help me to pray Your perfect will for their life. And I begin to pray in the Spirit. Do you know what you're saying, Pastor Steve? I haven't got a clue. I'm speaking mysteries. Here's what I do know. I'm praying the will of God. There's no telling what things have happened and what things have not happened because we prayed in the Spirit. And I want to close today talking about united prayer. United, praying together, united. In Kenneth Hagin's book, The Bible Prayer Study Course, he talks about how that he was raised as a Southern Baptist. And at their prayer meetings, it was always somebody would lead in prayer and everybody else would be silent. One person would pray and everybody would be silent. And then when he said when he got around full gospel people, everybody prayed out loud together at the same time. And it really bothered him. He wasn't used to having any noise around him when he prayed. And he decided he was going to read through the book of Acts and he was going to underline everywhere that they prayed in a group of two or more people. And he said he couldn't find one place in the New Testament, not one place in the book of Acts, where they would call on one person to pray and everybody else would remain silent. He found many places where they all lifted their voices together and they all prayed out loud. That's called united prayer. Now, somebody may ask, Pastor Steve, if we're all praying at the same time, how can God hear all our prayers if we're all praying at the same time? Well, think about it. How many people all around the world are praying at the same time and God hears their prayers, doesn't He? He doesn't say, hang on now, I'm listening to Anna. Hold on, Leo. When Anna's finished, I'll listen to you. God can listen to all of our prayers at the same time. Isn't that right? In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were on their way to attend a prayer meeting. And they met a crippled man at the gate of the temple. And he asked them for money. And Peter turned around and he said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The man was healed instantly, and he went with them into the temple, walking, leaping, praising God. When the religious leaders heard about it, they had Peter and John arrested, and they had them thrown in jail. They released them the next day, but they forbid them from speaking about Jesus. They said, we forbid you. You will not talk about this man Jesus anymore. What did they do? Acts 4, verse 23. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and they told them what the leading priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard the report, all the believers, lifted their voice. Say, lifted their voice. together in prayer to God. All the believers lifted their voice together in prayer to God. And it says they prayed, O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, who spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry and why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city, for Herod, Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And it says, now, Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in speaking your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Lord, you hear their threats. Give us boldness to preach your word. Notice they didn't pray that God would remove the persecution. They didn't pray that God would strike down their enemies. They didn't pray, Lord, please make our way easy. No, they prayed in the midst of persecution that God would give them boldness to preach his word. They prayed that God would stretch forth his hand and that signs and wonders and miracles would take place. They prayed that God would do miracles. And what happened after they prayed? What happened after they prayed? Verse 31, after this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they preached the word of God with boldness. Let me tell you, today we need to rise up and be preaching the word of God with boldness and praying that God would demonstrate his mighty healing power in the earth by doing signs and wonders and miracles. Not telling people, well, if you're sick, stay home from church. How about open your Bible, crack your Bible, and start believing what it says in your Bible? How about that? As a result of their united prayer, the Bible says the building was shaken. The building wasn't shaken until they prayed. The same thing happened to Paul and Silas in Acts 16. Just the two of them were thrown in jail. And the Bible says at midnight, they lifted their voice and they were praying. And they were singing praises to God at midnight. And it says, suddenly there was a massive earthquake. And the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open. The chains fell off of every prisoner. Let me tell you, united prayer brings God's power on the scene to meet every need. The power of God is made available when believers pray united together. There is power when you pray alone. But when you join with other believers, let me tell you, it is even more powerful. We ought to be shaking things for God today. If believers would get together and pray, they would shake this world for Jesus. Because there is supernatural power in prayer. Can you say amen? We need this kind of praying today. Hey, we need this kind of praying today. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you have ever been to our Thursday night prayer meeting? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you because I know how few of you have been. Every second Thursday, we have a prayer meeting. Considering what's going on in the world today, you would think churches would be packed full of people praying and calling out to God, lifting their voice and praying to God. We need to pray, man, and see some shaking. This shaking, let me tell you, when God begins to shake the church, some people, it brings them to the church, and other people, it makes them leave. Because people who don't want to change, they don't stay around very long when things are getting shaken. Some things they should get rid of, certain sin, that'll be shaken, man. Some Christians need to be shaken and get committed to God in your life. Do you need to be shaken by the power of God and get committed to Him? Let me tell you, we can usher in the power and the glory of God if we will join together and pray. I'm going to close with this in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 in verse 6. It says, King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel, they were assembled before him, before the ark. While they were sacrificing sheep and oxen, they could not be counted or numbered for its multitude. This is when they're dedicating the temple, Solomon's temple. And it says, then the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place under the wings of the cherubim. And it says, it came to pass when the priest came out of the most holy place, and the Levites, who were the singers, and all those of Asaph and Hemon and Jeduth with their sons and their brethren, when they stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps with them, 120 priests sounding with trumpets. And it says, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Let me tell you, when we join together and we lift our voices, one, in worshiping God and in praying and in calling out to God, we will see the house of God filled with his glory, and we will see miracles that will take place. Amen. We need more united prayer, family. We need to pray out together in one accord. Let's pray and let's shake things for the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? I want to encourage you on Sunday mornings before service. We prayed. We had an awesome time today praying before the service. We pray before every second Thursday. We have a prayer and worship night here at the church. We have it upstairs. I encourage you, man. Come and pray with us. Even if you don't come every time, come and pray with us today. Amen. We're gonna stand in a moment and we're gonna pray in unity together. In fact, why don't we do it right now? Just stand up with me right now. Just stand up with me. If you pray in the Holy Spirit, if you pray in tongues, stop praying in tongues right now. Stop praying in tongues right now. If you don't pray in tongues, pray in English right now. Let's call out to God. Father, we lift our voice before you together in one accord. In the name of Jesus, we pray for America. We pray for this nation. We pray, Lord, that you would bless and guide and protect this nation. We pray, Lord, that you would stretch forth your hand and that signs and wonders and miracles would take place across this nation. We pray for revival to spread across America. In the name of Jesus, we bind every demonic spirit. We take authority over this coronavirus and pandemic, and we forbid you from continuing. We bind you, devil. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Father, that you would bring healing across this land. We pray that you would move across this nation. In the name of Jesus, we pray that your will would be done in America, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray for our family. We pray for our children. We stand in the gap, Lord, and we pray that you would help them, that you would bless them. We pray for their salvation. We claim them for your kingdom. We declare your will be done in their life, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray together, Father. We look to you. We thank you. You are the God of all flesh. We declare, Jesus, you are Lord of America. We thank you, Lord, for a mighty revival across this nation. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. Lift your voice and cry out to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Say, I agree. Say, we agree. Jesus, you are Lord of America. We agree. There's revival across America. We declare God's blessing is on this nation. We declare God is guiding this nation. We declare this coronavirus, it is bound. We forbid it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for demonstrating your healing power across this nation, around this world. Thank you for giving us boldness. Say, Lord, thank you for giving us boldness to speak your word, to speak for you in Jesus' name. Just bow your head for a moment, if you would. Father, I pray for every person here today, every person watching this. I pray that your will would be done in their life. I pray, Lord, that you would help them. I pray, Lord, whatever challenges they are facing, you would help them to overcome it. I pray and ask, Father, that you would meet every financial need in their life. I pray, Lord, that those who are sick, that your healing power would work and flow in their body. I speak health and healing to those who are sick. I thank you for bringing freedom, deliverance from every bondage, Father, in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you would guide and you would direct and your favor would surround every person here today in the name of Jesus. I thank you for this. Listen, while you have your head bowed and while you have your eyes closed, I want to pray just one last prayer here. I want to pray for anyone who is here this morning. If you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and God, then listen, I want to pray for you today. If you're not sure where you stand with the Lord, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say that you know with any doubt that heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died, I hope I go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you even if you believe in God. What I am asking you is if you died today, are you sure? Can you say you know for sure that heaven is where you would spend all of eternity? Because the good news is you can be sure of that. Let me tell you, there is a heaven that awaits us. There is a heaven to gain. Heaven is a real place. And you can walk out of here today and you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. There's a hell. Hell is a real place. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. Right where you stand, while we have our heads bowed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to make sure that all is right, that all is well between me and the Lord. Pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Listen, if you want to be included in this prayer, won't you quickly just lift your hand up high. Just raise your hand up high. Lift up your hand. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. I see people raising their hand. God bless you. I want everyone who lifted your hand up, I want to lead you in this prayer. And I'm going to ask you to please repeat, say this prayer with me. The scripture says in Romans 10 in verse 9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The only way that you can be sure that all is well with you and God, and the only way that you can be sure that heaven is where you're going to spend eternity, is by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he rose from the dead, that he died on a cross for you, and he rose from the dead. And when you confess him as Lord of your life, the Bible says you will be saved. So I want you to say this prayer. I'm going to ask everybody to say this prayer. Everyone in the room, say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth, to die on a cross for me, to take my sin and to take my punishment. Lord, I believe, Jesus, you have been raised from the dead. I believe you're alive, and I ask you to come into my life, come into my heart. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Save me today. I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Say, from today, I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do what your Bible says, because you are Lord of my life. And I thank you because I have received you. Say, I'm now saved. I am born again. I am a child of God. God, you are my very own Father. I am your very own child. Heaven is my home. And my name is written down in your book of life. Say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Won't you be seated for a moment? I want to ask you, if you lifted up your hand for that prayer, please would you just stay in your seat for a couple of minutes. We have one of our volunteers from our church. They saw you lift your hand. They're going to come over to you. We've got a gift we want to give you before you go home. But I want to congratulate you. If you lifted your hand, best decision you ever made in your life. And I want to encourage you to come back and join us next week. Amen. Did you get something out of today?
So good.
Did you get something out of this series on prayer? Good. Well, I really have been blessed myself. I'm going to start something new next week. But praise the Lord.
That was a great series. Could I just say something? Talking about standing in the gap, there's a scripture in Acts where it says, you will be saved, you and your household. And so I took that from not just to mean my household, who lives in my house, but my family, my extended family.
Yes.
And, we've got half of our family comes from Scottish and English background, and then the other half comes Dutch and the Afrikaans in South Africa. But I can't trace back one Christian. I mean, you may have a whole line of Christians in your history, but I don't see one in mine. And maybe there was, but it's not obvious. So I've got this household. So when I pray for my, pray over salvation, pray over my household, I say, Father, I extend that.
That's right.
I extend that to my cousins and to their children. And it's been years, but more and more I've been seeing my cousins' children contact me and give me a scripture or tell me something about their faith.
They're serving the Lord.
And they're serving the Lord. And it's thankfully through Facebook or Instagram, what have you, then there's a whole section of my cousins that are not on social media, and so I've lost contact. Anyway, my cousin died a week ago, and she was just my age, and they put her funeral on YouTube, and I watched it. And she was a believer. And her son...
You didn't realize.
I didn't even know that she'd become a believer because they were heathens like the rest of us. And her son is 15. And my other cousin said to me, her son knows that you're in the ministry. And he's asked me at some time if I could bring him to the USA because his faith is so strong. And he feels I don't know what he feels, a calling. So God works, is what I'm saying.
You can be the difference maker in your family. You can be the difference maker. I remember you were 15 years old.
Yeah, and they used to mock me. They'd say, you're always in church. What are you?
Well, when you were 15, you gave your heart to the Lord.
Right.
Your friend's mother took you to church.
Right.
And then I met you. You came to Pastor Theo's church. You walked through the door, and I recognized you because we'd been in school from the second grade, but right. I never really knew you. And you would get up by yourself, the only one in your house, at 15 years old, and you'd find a ride to church.
Yeah.
And you would go by yourself to church, week after week after week after week after week, yeah. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And your family would say, you're always in church. I mean, you're always in church. That's all you care about. But now they're coming to God. Now people in your family are coming to the Lord because you stood in the gap and you prayed for them.
And amen. I say that to encourage you. To not give up, and don't think God's not working, because God's working in your family. Amen. We're going to end the service right now we're going to have a testimony from Mark Goldstein. Come on. We know Mark is a DJ among so many other things, and
I've got a few skills.
a lot of skills. But we had dinner the other night with he and Stacy, and he said, I'd love to just give a testimony when it comes to offering time. And I love to hear a testimony, don't you? Because you know what it is what God will do for one, he'll do for anyone, right? So tell us what you were telling me, Mark.
All right. Well, first of all, we started our business. Our company's relatively new. We've been in the business a long time, but it's my chance to own the business. It's family passed down.
What is it?
So we're an AC company, AC and plumbing. Long story short, we opened 2 months before COVID. So, there you go. So no one wants you in their house until they're hot, by the way. So when they're hot, they don't care about COVID anymore. It's pretty funny. But long story short, we actually had a very successful year. We did $500,000 in gross sales through COVID as a new company. Now, in our previous company, our best year was $600,000. So really, it was pretty close. So going into this year, you all know my daughter passed away. And why I'm telling you all this is because for 4 months, I wasn't really able to work effectively. It just took me some time to regroup and get with God and just kind of figure this out. So the business just kind of stood on its own. That's God. That wasn't me. I didn't do anything to keep that business open for 4 months. Nothing effectively anyway. But how I started tithing was that I came here to Ascend. Actually, I told Pastor Jill and Pastor Steve, they used to offend me. I spent 20 minutes rattling on about tithing. And I was like, you know.
I don't rattle on.
No, you don't.
Maybe I do.
I'll rephrase that. Yeah. So they were discussing tithing. And for a little while there, I really was, there was such a conflict in me with it because I actually didn't want to come here anymore because I was like, wow, that doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, they just want my money. So, you know, after Caitlin passed away, you know, I started to, you know, really figure out who God is. You know, I've been saved since 2004. What you might not know is Goldstein's a Jewish last name. So, really fast testimony, how does a Jew believe in Jesus? I'll tell you, it's very, very simple. All the Jewish people I know in my life are the best record keepers you're ever going to see. Lawyers, accountants, keeping track. So the Old Testament goes all the way up until the New Testament. Now, if Jesus isn't the Savior, where's the record keepers now? It just stopped. My people keep records. They stop. Jesus is the Savior, period, the end. I don't need any more proof than that. So once I started to think about that, I started to think about, well, I'm not obedient to God. He's saying, tithe. Just try it. So I've been a faithful tither probably a little over a year. My business is still here. I'm still standing. My daughter passed away. I'm still standing. I'm still in church. I've been through a lot in this past year. I got married to a beautiful Christian woman. God is blessing us in so many ways. So the last thing I wanted to say is in August, you know, we've never done, you know, $30,000 in a week in our business. We did $50,000 in 1 week in our business. So I just want to thank God for that. And I want to thank Ascend Church for opening my heart to that. You know, I was against it. Believe me, I was Paul. Nope, sorry. And then.
Yeah. Now tell us what you told your friend. And who did you say it to? Now you said all we want is your money. And now what did you say you're going to do?
I'm blank. Oh, that's right. Oh, no, listen. So listen. So God put this on me, and he put on my heart that I'm going to give $1 million tithe. And I believe that. I mean, there are things that are happening. Yes. And no, I mean it. It sounds crazy.
He goes from not wanting to come to church because we're talking about giving to saying, I believe there's so much.
Yes.
And it's not about us. It's not about the church. It's
about
between
God.
You and God.
100%.
And your life.
Listen,
right?
God has revealed himself. And if you've not had the pleasure of watching God work in your life, just look. Just look. Because I wasn't paying attention. And now that I pay attention, I see him move in my life all the time.
Thank you, Lord.
So I want to bless you all and thank you for your time.
Thanks, awesome God. Praise God. We're gonna receive the offering now. It's so good, isn't it? I love to hear these stories because it's you see God moving and
that
speaking
was
to
great,
people
Mark. Man, oh man,
$1 million.
You're gonna give $1 million. And can I tell you something? You're not the only one. There's other people sitting here.
Come
God
on,
wants to bless you.
Faith.
I was talking
stretch
to Tom and Deirdre. Where's Tom? Are they here today?
There they are.
I was talking to them in the lobby last Sunday. And they've been coming to church for less than 6 months. Is it more than 6 months? About 6 months. They own an ice cream company. They've been the best ice cream.
Good ice cream.
And they've been in, when did you establish your company? 1982. So it's like 40 years almost, coming up 40 years. So we were talking and they said, you know, the last few months, our business has increased 35%. They said, we can't keep up with it. Is this true? We've got to employ more people. I said, have you ever thought about the fact that that's when you started giving to this church? You started giving to the Lord, I should say. They said, maybe we've got to stop giving now because we can't give. I said, don't do that. Don't do that. But their business has increased 35%. And the only thing that I can think of is you started giving a few months ago. Amen.
So good.
Let's go ahead.
You know there's various ways to give. It comes up on the screen. Those that are watching online, you can just click on ascendchurch.us and you can give. And we thank you sincerely for giving into the kingdom of God. Amen. Thank you for your people that give recurring giving. We have people that we still haven't seen since the whole COVID started that are still being faithful tithers. Thank you, Prudencio. Thank you to all those different people that are so faithful to give. We thank God for that. And we're believing the increase in your life, increase in your business. Amen. I just want to mention one more thing. We have a group of ladies that meet once a month for lunch. They're called the Blessing Angels. That's Deanne leads that, and she's in the kids' church today. But they put up a notice board in the lobby, and it has a few things on it, but it also has a place for you. If you have a business card and you'd like to put it up there of what you do, because some of us don't know what somebody else does. You want to buy a car, you don't know that there's an excellent car salesman sitting in our church, or you need air conditioning fixed and you didn't know Mark had such a great company or whatever. So go ahead and have a look at that and then add your card to that if you would like to.
Amen. We want to thank all of our servant leaders who volunteered today, served in God's house, our media team, our ushers, our greeters, our children's workers. Give them a big round of applause, our worship team, our singers, musicians. We appreciate them. God bless you. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today.
I'm glad you're here today.
Tell them I'll see you next Sunday, and I'm bringing somebody with me. Amen.
You are good and I dance because you are good and I shout because you are good, you are good.
Thank you for coming. We'll see you next Sunday.